Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. It Waits, Volume 6, Story Number 1. This is not so creepy, but it's very vivid and distinct that I still think about it years later. I had a subjectively long, involved dream where I was a vendor in a fish market. I remember getting up early, dressing, doing a whole morning routine, going to get tea, heading out to the docks, buying fish, loading them in a cart, and going to get ice, then haggling for ice, buying some less fresh fish while I was at it, then going to a market to my stall, setting up and selling fish all day. It was so real. I talked to friends, smoked nasty cigarettes, haggled customers, ate lunch, had tea, and just lived through the day. At the end of the day, I cleaned up, counted my cash, paid the stall rent, went home, cooked some of the fish I hadn't sold, sling with some vegetables and rice that I'd traded for. I drank more tea, relaxed for a while, then drew a hot bath, soaked and smoked some more cigs, then went to bed. The next morning, I woke up refreshed, ready to go down to the docks to buy fresh catch. Except, I was in my house, next to my wife, truck parked outside, and it was Saturday. No work. My wife and I were getting geared up to go skiing in Oregon, and the car was already packed. Weird thing was, in the dream, I was single and a smoker. I'm not. And the whole long dream had been in fluent Chinese. The effortless kind of fluency that only comes from a lifetime of speaking it. Oh, and I had been Chinese. I'm a big, hairy white dude, somewhat fluent in Spanish, and I know a little bit of Russian, but I've never. It was just weird. I've never worked in a fish market. I wonder who I was. I wonder what that was. Story number 2. Oh boy, you guys are going to love where I work. Weird things happen here all the time. But I'll just talk about one of the creepiest moments I've experienced. I work as a security nighttime attendant at an apartment building. It's 24 stories and one of the oldest buildings in the city. One night, I'm sitting here and the phone rings at about 3 a.m. and I answer, "Hello, this is Draven at the front desk. How can I help you?" The voice on the other end sounded female, but was totally garbled and the only bit I could make out was 23rd floor. I tried to tell the person I couldn't understand them and asked what apartment they were in. But again, garbled response, and 23rd floor. After the third time of trying to understand them and the same response, I said since I couldn't understand them, I'd come up and to meet me in the hallway. So, I go to the main elevators, and both are up on the surprise 23rd floor. Luckily, we have an older service elevator, and it's only on the 7th floor, so I call it down. I get it and hit the button for the 23rd floor, but it won't move, and the inner door won't close. So I go to unlock the reset panel, and boom, we start going up. Door is still open. I'm freaking out, and the elevator is shaking because it goes pretty fast and is old. As I'm going up, I just say towards the back, and finally I reach floor 23. I step out, door closes just fine, and I look around the hallway. There's nobody around. I walk along slowly trying to listen for anyone awake who might have called, but there's nothing. So now I head in the opposite direction and go towards where the regular elevators are. And when I get to them, they are just sitting there with their doors open. I was pretty freaked out, but I knew it could just be the elevators on the fritz. So I get in and figure I'll just reset them when I get to the floor. Number one, when I hear the sound of the back stairwell closing. So I quickly get out, go to the stairwell, and lo and behold, no one's there. But the maintenance door to the machine room is ajar, and at that time, I'm the only one in the building with a key. At the top of the building is a large machine room housing all the really, really loud machinery that does stuff in the building and allows access to the roof. I don't like going into it because it's creepy, and no one ever goes there. So at this point, I'm seriously freaked out, but I muster up and head in. I shout, "Hello?" And there's no response. The lights in this room flicker because They're shitty fluorescent, so I can't see well either. But at the end of the room, I can make out the roof access door, and sure as shit, it's slightly open. So I slowly continue forward, checking the space in between each machine as I walk by. And there's no one there. So I open the roof access door. I can't see anyone ahead of me on the roof, but there is a slight wraparound, and if there was a jumper or something, I need to be sure, so I step out and leave the door ajar like it was. Almost immediately, the door is pulled shut. Now, I might have written it off as wind or something, but this door is hard to shut and hard to open. Really hard. I immediately grab the handle and yank it open, slam it behind me, and run straight for the maintenance door. It automatically locks when it's closed, so I slam it shut too, and go back to the 23rd floor hallway, get into an elevator, doors are still open, and go all the way down to the first floor. I go back to the main lobby, and as soon as I sit down, the phone rings. I pick it up, don't say a word, and sure as hell garbled voice again, only audibly saying, 23rd floor. I hung up the phone, turned the ringer off, and spent the rest of the evening just staring at the parking garage security monitor. There's been a bunch of creepy things happening at this building. It's basically like the Overlook Hotel at night. I walked past a dark room here on the first floor once and swore I saw myself standing inside it. The next night, as I'm inside said room, cleaning, the lights flip off and I turn around to see a quick flash of myself walking past. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be working here, but we'll see. Next story. I had just turned 22 and my parents had sold their house and purchased a place out in the country. On the property, there was a big shed not far from the house that I decided to turn into my place. Now, I felt kind of uncomfortable in the shed sometimes, but my dog kept me company, so it wasn't so bad. Anyway, I've been in there maybe 2 weeks, and one night, I'm on the computer. My dog's asleep at my feet, and I need to pee, so I get up and go outside to piss. It's a beautiful, clear night, and the stars were incredible. Next thing I hear, the shed door slam behind me. I turn immediately and try to open it, but it won't budge. Now, from inside the shed, I can hear my dog start to growl, quietly at first and louder. Now he's barking, and I'm panicking trying to get the door open. I must mention that I'm 6'5" and well-built, play sports, etc. But even ramming my full weight into the door won't open it. And I'm really panicking now as my dog barks, turned into whines, then whimpering, then silence, and with all my might, I slam into the door and it flies open. The lights are off inside now and it's pitch black. It won't turn back on and I'm in complete darkness. I can't see my dog anywhere and I stumble around trying to find a torch. Finally, I find it and pick it up and turn on my torch. And I wasn't prepared for what I'd see next. My dog had literally squashed itself into the furthest, darkest corner of the room, eyes closed, and is shaking violently. I immediately moved towards him, and as soon as I got within reach of him, he leapt at me into my arms and wouldn't move. I picked him up, and I swear I've never run so fast in my goddamn life. I never stepped foot in that shed ever again, and my dog wouldn't even go near that part of the property. I don't know what happened in that shed that night, but I'll never forget it. Next story. About a year ago, I had a terrible nightmare. It started off by me waking up in bed during a thunderstorm. As the room illuminated again and again from the flashes of lightning outside, I realized that the bed I was laying in wasn't mine. The head of the bed was against the wall, and the door was located on the other wall, and from my perspective, I couldn't tell if it was open or closed. That is until I saw the face. At first, just the nose and jaw broke past the door frame, but then an entire face slowly passed through the doorway. I tried to yell, "Who are you? Where am I?" But it felt like I had lost my voice. No matter how hard I tried to scream, nothing came out, and this person continued to enter the room, looking dead ahead, away from me. Then, just as the person was completely into the room, their head snapped towards me, and it locked eyes with mine. I tried to get out of the bed, but felt completely paralyzed. The person started making their way to me, but with every step, their body contorted in ways that would break a normal person's bones. Their neck snapped, so the back of their head touched their back. Their jaw lay flat on their chests, and their arms had broken at the shoulders and migrated to their back like wings. Just terrifying shit. And just before they reached me, I woke up. The next day, I told my mom about it. I went into great detail about the room. Turns out it was almost an exact copy of my room when I was a baby. We moved out of that house when I was super young. Like, I have no idea what the inside 20 room looked like. Why I dreamt of that room, I'll never understand. Next story. I was heading home with my dad. We stopped at a drive-thru. I started feeling more and more anxious for no reason, to the point where I was feeling lightheaded and sick to my stomach. We had to wait a little bit because they gave us the wrong order. So I sat there feeling like shit, and it suddenly comes to me, this urge to call my brother. He was trying to call us. He had been in a car accident. No one died, but some got seriously bruised. He was only shaken. I told him to shut up and get as far away from the car as possible. He didn't understand, but followed through, trying to call some of his buddies, and I could hear them calling him a wuss, him giving up and getting far, and then a loud noise and people shouting. After the whole shit was over, he told me what happened. His drunk friend tried to impress some girls in the car, hit the gas, drifted, and hit the bottom of the car on some rocks, completely effing up his engine. They stood near the car, the driver still inside trying to turn the engine back on. The hood burst in flames, and the car started to burn fast. The driver managed to get away but got severely hurt. Some of the guys and girls who stood around were hurt and burned too, but not as bad as the driver. My brother was the only one with light bruises from the whole thing. He told me that when I ordered him to get away from the car, he was in front of it, inches from the hood. I never experienced anything like this before and after, just this one time. And even now, I don't understand it, but I'm still thankful. Next story. In 2003, my best friend had gone missing and ended up being murdered. It was a huge news story and tore me up inside. Back when it had occurred, there were some issues going on in his personal life. I was living a couple of hours away. Anyway, my birthday was on June 15th, which was a Sunday. I was hanging at my friend's house the morning of Saturday the 14th, from which I distinctly remember having a bad signal on my cell, always. I was hanging out at the time and we were in front of my friend's house. I called my other friend, the one who was killed that morning, asking him what he was doing and that my birthday was the next day, and that night we had planned to go to a rap concert. He said he wanted to come down, but there was some trouble and he wasn't alone. He mentioned he was with his roommate, and I told him they could both come down. Without giving too much detail, he mentioned he was in fear of his life. And I told him to come lay low at my house, and Monday we would drive back and go to the police. My friend, whose house I was at, also had chimed in, remembering me having the conversation in full. My friend on the other end of the phone line said he would drive down and stay over. He never showed up. I called him on my birthday, infuriated that he never showed up. He never answered the phone. I didn't think much of it at the time. I was very drunk, but something didn't seem right. I got a call Monday morning from his long-distance girlfriend saying she hadn't spoken to him since Tuesday. I told her to calm down and that I had spoken to him. Well, I got a call from his parents as well, begging me to go check his dorm room, which he had that roommate, which they both stayed at the local university. I drove down with a friend I was getting stoned with on Saturday, and we got let into the place. He had two baby bullies who looked starved when we walked in. There was dog shit everywhere. We checked the apartment, and it was a mess. I went into his bedroom, and there was a suitcase on the bed, half-packed, with folded clothes in the bag, and on the bed very neatly. This was how my friend was with his clothing. It was a 2- or 3-night bag. Something was wrong. Fast forward, he was missing for a month, and then, with some pushing, his body was found. I won't go into detail about that portion. I will say this, however. The FBI ended up telling me that he was dead 2 or 3 days before the day I spoke with him. Furthermore, there was no cell phone record of the call, or so I was told. I can't say how accurate the body decomposition was due to the body being in a field during the summer in a southern high heat state. The FBI was positive of what they told me, though. To this day, I know I spoke to my friend who died. My other friend, who I'm still friends with, can vouch for this. Apparently, they say it isn't so. but this is definitely something that will sit with me for the rest of my life, in addition to the event itself. Next story. I'm from Finland, and that's also where these things I'm about to describe happened. This was some years ago, pre-smartphone GPS era. It was the end of the summer, and myself and two friends were on a camping trip way up in the north in Lapland. The mosquito season was over, and the weather was cooling down in anticipation of the coming fall. The three of us had packed food and gear for a 10-day trek. The car we arrived in had been left at the parking lot of a visitor center. This happened within the premises of the Urho Kekkonen National Park, a 985-square-mile stretch of wilderness near the Russian border. The terrain there varies greatly, from treeless and semi-mountainous to dense forests of spruce and pine and dwarf birch. There are lots of swamps. Seeing reindeer is not uncommon, and some nights you might hear wolves in the distance. You can run into a bear or a wolverine in this place, but of course, normally, they avoid people. We mostly camped in a tent, but some nights we used shelters and simple huts provided for travelers free of charge. The trip had lasted 5 days. We were at the furthest of any kind of civilization we were going to be on that particular outing, truly in the middle of nowhere. There really is nothing there. There are no villages, towns, or industry. The place is a national park after all. Seeing other hikers happen from time to time, you see some people in the distance maybe. Very rarely would you come face to face with anyone. So, in the middle of our trip, we were camped in a small clearing, woodland extending around us for a considerable distance in all directions. It was already dark. We had eaten our evening meal, and all three of us were jammed in our only tent. It was a bit cramped, but we fit. We took turns carrying it during the hikes. We were just exchanging some jokes and crude humor in the dark like guys in their 20s do, about to go to sleep in our sleeping bags. When we quieted down, we began to hear it, talking, and the sound of machinery. Given our location, this was profoundly weird. We camped in a tent because there were no huts nearby. Maybe there was another camp somewhere near us? We couldn't quite make out what was being said, but it was a human voice, no doubt about it. But nothing could really explain the sound of the heavy machinery. It sounded like an excavator or a tank. Something big, powerful, and really not too far away. Combined with the sound of talking, we thought, construction yard? But at that time of night, in an unpopulated protected nature reserve? We got out of our tent. It was cold and pitch black. The campfire had some coal still glowing. We took out our flashlights. My two buddies have always been a lot braver than me. The sound was clearly coming from the north, maybe half a kilometer away. We thought the construction might be going on behind a small hill and some distance away. We could see no lights or anything. We could still not make out what was being said. The speaking-like voice was monotonous, and it was impossible even to say what language was being used. It still sounded a lot like a person speaking, though. You may be aware of the sort of spooky phenomena of hearing a human voice in static. Maybe you've used a blow dryer and been sure someone is talking. Turn it off and it was just something the brain tries to interpret from the steady hum. Maybe it was sort of like that. It's hard to explain. The machinery-like sound continued, not loud, but you could sort of make out the powerful engine, at times accelerating, adding power, at times at idle. My two friends resolved to go find out what was going on. We put our warm clothes back on, donned boots, and I sat next to the dying fire, adding some more wood to it. I would stay at camp while my buddies left to check out this mystery construction yard in the middle of nowhere in the Lapland woods. So there I sat. The guys took out their maps, took a compass heading, and left, and I could hear them making their way through the forest, see the light from their flashlights. Then they were gone. The weird sounds continued, unaltered. They were gone 15 minutes and maybe 30, then the better part of an hour. It was odd, judging by the volume of the sound. They should have reached it, checked it out, and been back already. I added more firewood and tried to make out what the person talking was saying, but it was too tinny and obscure. The guys had been away for over 2 hours. I figured they had stayed for coffee with the construction guys or something. Then the sound stopped. Just like that. It just ended, all at the same time. The engine sound and the voice both just quit. It was very silent. I waited for another 30 minutes, very worried now that something had happened. that maybe my friends were lost. Should I go and try to find them? I shouted their names several times and built the fire pretty big. I was scared shitless when suddenly I saw the flashlights of my friends. Apparently, they were returning in a hurry. The guys got back to camp out of breath. They told me the following. They had followed the sound beyond the small ridge in the distance. There was nothing there, and it seemed like they were not getting any closer to the source of the sound. They had to stop every now and then, be quiet and listen to it to be able to walk towards it. They walked and stopped like this for some time, then realized they were not getting any closer. The sounds did not change in volume at all. They decided to just go a bit further several times when suddenly the sound just stopped, like someone pressed a button on a recording. They realized that they had been going on for a long time. They were in the middle of the dark woods, alone. They reversed the heading and started back at a brisk pace. Eventually, they saw my big-ass fire from the top of a hill and found their way back. The weird thing is, we seemed to think the sound stopped at different times. They had been gone 2.5 hours in total. They said the sound stopped at around the 1 hour 15 minute mark after they left. They then started to head back immediately, the return trip taking a bit longer even though they kept a good pace. They apparently wandered around a bit. For me, the sound stopped at the 2 hour mark, just 30 minutes before their return. We did not sleep that night. Nothing more happened on that trip, and we never found out what the weird construction yards-like sound was about. When we returned to the park's visitor center some 5 days later, we asked around, but no one knew of any ongoing construction taking place in the whole national park area. Been bugging me ever since. Never could figure out. I guess we'll never have an answer to what was really out there. Next story. My friend's dad told me a pretty bizarre story that started like this. About 15 years ago, my friend's parents, Steve and Julie, were woken up at 1 a.m. to a very loud thud that rattled the house. Worried that one of the kids had fallen out of the bunk bed, Steve went downstairs to check on them, but all three kids were sound asleep and safe in their beds. Julie told Steve to check the house in case of intruders, so Steve checked the doors and windows before going outside to take a look. After 10 minutes of investigating the noise, Steve came across nothing unusual and went back inside to go to bed. He found his wife absolutely worried sick, and she demanded to know where the hell he had gone and what happened. Confused and tired, Steve told her he found nothing and tried to calm her down before Julie pointed out that it was now 4 a.m. and that he had been missing for 3 hours. Julie had even gone outside to check on him, and he was nowhere to be found and didn't respond to her calling his name. Unable to figure out what happened, they returned to bed and slept until Steve had to get up for work in a few hours. Steve owned a painting business, and a couple of hours after working on a house, he noticed his eyes started to feel itchy. Then his eyes started to burn. Then after a couple of hours, his eyes burned so badly that he was holding his eyelids open as not to blink because it felt like his lids were sandpaper against his eyes. His employees rushed him to the hospital, and Steve was treated for second-degree flash burns on his eyes. He was told his burns were equivalent to staring at a welder's torch without eye protection for an extended period of time. His eyes were treated, and he was lucky to have his vision fully restored. He is one of the most stand-up guys I know, and the way he told his story gave me the creeps. Dead serious, and no explanations for what happened. His wife was there too, and she was visibly upset when he was telling me that story. Next story. Alright, here's my story, but first, 2 points of backstory. One, my parents lived about 90 minutes away from me in my old hometown. Often, I would make a trip of it on Tuesday nights to see some friends and then swing by my parents. We chose Tuesday night as none of the guys' SOs would object to hanging out during the middle of the week. Usually, hanging out with my friends between 7 to 10 p.m., I would drop by real quick to see my dad after 10 p.m. The obligatory, I'm in town, and would be an awful son by not dropping by visit. Since I went back about every other week, it was nice to get to FaceTime with my dad. This was pretty frequent, especially during the summer. Since he was retired, he just watched tons of TV until the early a.m. hours. Why not, right? Number two, when dreaming, I know I'm dreaming. And if I'm having a bad dream, I can make myself wake up. Or if I'm dreaming something funny, I will interact until I wake up. Essentially, I'm able to control my dreams once I realize I've been in them. Been that way for the past 10 years or so. Kind of cool, except when I have some crazy shit happen in them. Then I want to wake up as soon as possible. So, now linking these two items up, one evening after visiting my friends, I decide to drop by my parents' house. I usually walk through the garage using my dad's key code into the house to the den where my dad watches TV. Mom would be asleep, so most of the lights would be out except the light from my dad's den. So I'm walking through the house and I seem to be floating. As I get to my dad's den, I say hi. And at that moment I realize, wait, something isn't right. Today's on Tuesday. No way I can be here. This must be a dream. At that point, the entire room, the house environment goes dark. Suddenly I'm in the dark space or room, looking at this ghoulish figure with a somewhat scarred, shocked, oh shit face. Like, he realized I knew this was fake. It was like the curtain was dropped and I saw the puppet master. Making eye contact with him, he kind of looks like a clownish figure. Crazy teeth, pale face, weird clothes. Like a mix of Phantom of the Opera meets Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I got only a brief moment in this space with him before he also goes poof and vanishes. After this, I immediately woke up. Groggy, I roll over, check my phone. See, it's about 2:30 a.m. Chalk it up to a crazy dream and go back to sleep. The next day, I call my dad just to chit-chat, see how the day is going. We're talking and he tells me, late last night, I was watching TV. Next thing I know is that you're standing in the doorway. I go to ask what you're doing here so late when you just sort of faded away, like a computer graphic, just bit by bit until you were gone. I figured it was time for me to go to bed. Instant knotted stomach, I asked him when this was. Oh, late, not sure, probably after 2 a.m.? Oh, boy. So I tell him my dream, and he just figures it's something I'll never be able to explain. Something from another realm, not sure of God, dark spirits, etc. It freaked me out. I wonder if there's something watching me or maneuvering my days. Pretty freaky. This always gives me the chills when I think about it. My dad has since passed, but I still think about that day. To me, this just affirms the connection I had to my old man. Hope he has some answers now. Until then, I hope the ghouls stay away. Next story. I bought a house from a professor who had died 4 years earlier. I'm a professor too. I teach graphics. He taught photography. When we bought the house, it was full of his stuff. He was a bit of a hoarder. We had a garage sale to clear it out. A woman we didn't know came in and said there was a ghost of an old woman in the house who was very happy that there would soon be children in the house. My wife got pregnant in the house within a week of the move-in. The really weird one was that I taught a class for a local university, other than the one I taught for primarily. And the office they assigned me was the one that was named for the guy who I bought the house from. The other odd one was that the brother of the guy we bought it from mailed us a letter about the house, and then he died in a car accident before we received the letter. He had a heart attack, but his wife had Alzheimer's, so he tried to drive himself to the hospital and killed them both. My kids would constantly check out a book from the library called A Ghost Named Fred, which was his name. The weirdest part of it all, though, was that one time I was stretching a canvas in my basement and was planning on using wood and screws to hold the corners together. When I was on the basement floor, I looked to my right, and there was a box of the metal slats that professionals use to do this. I'm not superstitious at all, and totally chalk these things up to coincidence. But if I was superstitious, it would have really freaked me out. Next story. I'm half Japanese, and I have spent about 2 years living in Japan when I was younger. I was on cleaning duty with my classmate, so I had to stay after class hours to clean and organize the home classroom. I'd done it many times before and was going about my duties when my cleaning partner got up to leave for the bathroom. I finished and decided to leave without saying goodbye as it was getting pretty late. On my way out, as I was throwing my shoes on, I noticed a human-like shadow enter my peripheral. I looked to the side expecting my classmate, but no one was there. I thought nothing of it and continued on my merry way, excited for the dinner my mother had already prepared at home. This is where it gets weird. My school had a building that was built slightly above the ground, Try to picture the American porch where the house itself is elevated and there's black empty space directly underneath the house. It's kind of similar to that setting in The Ring where the well is hidden underneath the building behind the fences. For some reason, some stimulus had caused me to look in the direction of the dark space underneath the building when I saw it. It was human-like, yet was on all fours. It crawled very much like a four-legged insect. And its face, oh man, its face was creepy. It had no eyes, no nose, disproportionate mouth, and was wearing some sort of human skin except that the skin was colored a bright translucent white. I did a double take as I was walking by, and by the second time that I looked, it smiled with sharp fangs. The thing faced directly towards me. I stared at it, being the stupid middle schooler I was, and suddenly, out of nowhere, a pair of huge eyes opened wide, like there were no eyelids or any facial features to indicate that it had eyes. The eyes instantly struck fear into me, and I ran. I ran as fast as my little legs could take me across the campus. I dared not to stop because I felt the presence of the creature approaching closer, even as I ran. Eventually, I got to the front gate and was breathless. Mustering up enough courage, I took a slow, cautious look behind me, and to my relief, there was nothing but the shadows of the building from the setting sun. I carefully scanned the grounds once more before taking one step backward out of the school grounds onto the road. A bike bell rang very close. I turned like anyone would, expecting a cyclist, and there it was again, although there was no bike to indicate the bell ring. It sat perched upon a single spike of the gate. Ring, ring. It smiled yet again with those sharp fangs and swooped down upon me. I felt a sharp tearing sensation through my chest, as if something had just stabbed my heart. Then and there, I lost consciousness. Darkness, then the ringing. My head felt dizzy and it was a struggle to open my eyes. I jolted, remembering what had happened earlier. My eyes made out a blurry, faint figure in the darkness that was moving at fast speed. Suddenly, lights appeared and a large car horn was followed by screeching and a large thump. I felt something warm splash on my face and arms. In the light of the street lamps, I could tell it was blood. I looked over to find a body lying lifeless next to me. I screamed in horror as the car headlights suddenly lit up. Blinded for a moment, I struggled to pick myself up and run. Clearly, some car had just hit the cyclist and killed him. The sound was there again. It made no sense. The cyclist was dead. How could this be happening? Then I remembered the creature, and sure enough, I looked back to see it smiling with its sharp fangs. Only this time it was on all fours on top of the car. I ran. I ran with blood dripping from my body. I ran with my backpack bouncing and barely clinging to my back. I finally got home to a terrified mother and sleepless nights. Ever since that day, my life has not been the same. I've witnessed two more deaths of a cyclist. Most recently, the cyclist's death in Boston. And I've heard that exact same pitched ring ringing every time. I never saw that creature again, but I feel its presence lurking in the shadows with its fangs bared and its eyes secretly looking on. I've come to believe that it is the Grim Reaper. Let me tell you why. I currently work as an EMT in Boston, and every time I've dealt with a dead or nearly deceased patient, I've heard the ringing sound in the back of the ambulance. It was freaky at first, until I came to realize that perhaps I have a sixth sense of some sort to realize when others are on the brink of death. The ringing sound has saved me from potentially life-threatening situations, such as when I once fell asleep at the wheel. The ringing sound jolted me and my arms to the left, narrowly avoiding a guardrail at 70 miles per hour. I still hear it to this day, and if it ever stops, I'll never know.